Well, good morning, church. How y'all doing today? Come on, let's give Jesus a big hand. Come on. What a great crowd we have here today. So good to be with you. Pastor John and Christine, Natalie and I are your biggest fans. You guys are doing great. Aren't they doing a great job here? Come on, somebody. I'm telling you, really, really good, full of life. And man, it's so awesome to be here. Running your race. I just said that and I got tired. Come on, somebody. I am not a runner. I don't pretend to be a runner. I don't want to be a runner unless somebody's chasing me. Then it's a good time to run. Come on. But running your race here. And that's what this is really, really all about here. How many of you, if your phone were to ring in church, which I know it's already off, so it won't. And or if it like buzzed, or if you saw it flash and you looked down at your phone and it was a call from God, what would be your first response? Would it be like, I'm not answering that? How many of you would be like, Or how many of you would be like, God is on the phone? And you would run around and show everybody, right? You would run around, you'd be showing so many people that you'd miss the call. Because you were so excited about it, right? Or how many of you would say, it's God on the phone, and that means he's dad, Abba Father, which means he wants to go to lunch, and since he's Abba Father, he's going to pick up the tab. Come on, somebody. Yeah. Where's all my dads out there? Yeah. Come on. Now, one of those responses would be yours. And when we're talking about running the race and we're talking about what we're going to do for God and how we're going to run, it really is a call from God to run. And that's what I want to unwrap for you today here. Like, where do I get my meaning to run? Why am I running? Where are we running? Why are we running so fast? Have you ever asked some of those questions? Yeah, I don't know where we're going. I don't know why we're going so fast. And I don't know who I'm going with, but we're going to go. Come on. That's sometimes how life feels. And so why all this running here? And I think sometimes in our culture, we're so used to wanting all the right answers, we forget to ask the right questions. It's why AI and Google are so popular, because we want answers and we want them right. And I don't want to wait for them. I want them right now. And today I might have some more questions then I do answers, because the meaning of our lives and the purposes of our lives are really found in the questions we ask, not in the answers we give. So are we asking the right questions? Because if we don't ask the right questions, we're just going to find our own answers. And that's really what we're talking about today in running my race here. Because life having meaning and purpose, and this is what we're all after. Listen, we are all after meaning and purpose and significance. Depression, anxiety, all of these things are at all-time highs in younger people, 20s and under, and actually 60s and up. Why? Because without a picture of the future, we're left to ourselves and depression and anxiety sets in. I'm not saying it's the only reason. I'm saying it's a reason. It can be a reason when we don't have purpose and we don't have significance in here. But just maybe significance and purpose isn't a destination, but it's a direction. Maybe it's in the direction we're going, not just in the destination that we are in or are going to. Are you with me now? So why do all these things happen here? Let's start off here in Philippians chapter 3. I'm going to read one verse, then we're going to go back and read some verses in front of it to catch us up here. But I want to kind of picture this. I want to pull you in here to running your race here. Philippians 3:14, the Apostle Paul writes, he's writing a letter to the Philippians here. He says, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling. Yeah, there we go. See, we're so fixated on my race, we forget that we have a race. We forget that we are in a race together here. And sometimes it's so easy to get fixated on me, I forget about we. And our lives affect one another. Yeah, and so we have this pressing on. This is aggressively, like a hunter pursuing a catch. It's basically a 13-year-old girl that wants a new cell phone. She gonna get it. Are you with me? Some way, some shape, some form, it's gonna happen. We don't know how yet, but it's gonna happen, okay? It's going to happen. So it's pursuing here. It's aggressively pursuing. And a calling is a divine invitation. A calling from God is a divine invitation from God. And so first of all, our divine invitation is called salvation. We receive that through Christ Jesus. It's a free gift that we receive by grace through faith in God that we receive this. And that's the first invitation that we receive. But there is a calling that he is calling us. And I am all about the heavenly prize. Come on, somebody. Come on, are you about the heavenly prize? See, if we're not careful, even in the church, the world creeps into the church. And we make it, and what does our culture tell us? It's all about power, money, accomplishment, fame. Are you with me? And that gives you significance. But all those things leave you empty. Every one of those things will leave you empty. It's a heavenly prize that we're after. It's that I want to please God here. And so I have to ask myself three questions here. What's the direction of my life? So what's the direction of our lives? What are the decisions that we are making here? And what are the disciplines that are going to get me there? See, when I'm thinking about a race, I'm thinking about those three things. What's the direction? What's the decision? Okay, and what are the disciplines that are going to help me in my race here? Now, I was praying for you. I was praying for this time this past week. And a lot of times in church, we use this term like God spoke to me. And if you're new to Christianity, if you're new to Jesus, it's like we feel ripped off. It's like, how come God speaks to you? And it's like, did you hear an audible voice? How do you say that? So I'm going to use this term. I was praying. And since I knew I was coming about running a race, I looked up every verse I could find on running and race. Anything that had running and race, I just went through the Bible and I just started reading it. And as I was praying, and then I stopped praying, and I was just meditating. See, prayer is when you're speaking. Meditation is when I'm just sitting quietly before God and thinking about the Word of God. And I felt this impression. I felt this impression that God said, you're in your third lap. And I'm like, what does that mean? Third lap. And I just felt this impression. I felt like God said, you're in your third lap. And so I said, well, that's interesting. I'm not a runner. Don't want to be a runner. Never even thought about being a runner. And so I said, okay. So I just started looking up, and I said, what do runners go through in their third lap? And then as the more I looked at it, and the more I like was meditating on it from God, and then I actually went on, and I did look at, like, what do runners on a mile race? There's four laps in a mile race. So there's four laps, and God was speaking to me that you're finishing lap number three. And I said, well, at least I'm not in the last one. Come on. And I know that there's some books written about the last lap or the gun lap. I know that. So I was just reading some excerpts from it, trying to understand what God was saying to me. And so in a race, this is what I learned, that when a runner is in the third lap of a mile race, okay, this is some things I learned. The third lap is when fatigue peaks and mental resolve is tested. Fatigue peaks, mental resolve is tested here. It's because the first two laps, basically in my life here, leading up to this point in my life, all the running, lactic acid starts to build up and you start to get tired, okay? And then there's fatigue is at an all-time high. Your mind has to decide, are you going to go on or not? How many of you have ever had to make a decision? Am I going to go on with this whole thing or not? Okay, I'm speaking to you right here. And then there's a mental challenge. The mental challenge, like not just physically, my muscles, but I'm worried, am I going to have enough energy to make it to the end? Mm. And then there's this decisive moment here because the initial excitement of running is over. And it's just like you got to get in a zone. And you have to embrace your race. Now, why am I saying all this? I'm saying because spiritually, you have to know what lap you're in. If you don't know your lap you're in, you're going to run either too hard. See, in your third lap, races are won and lost in the third lap. That means I'm not in retirement. I'm not there, but I'm closing in on it. And so I got to decide, am I going to keep going with this thing called God or not? And God just started speaking to me. I mean, God was just downloading. I mean, he was double-clicking nonstop on my heart. He was just double-clicking. He was like, bam, 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 you're going to get this. And the more I thought about it, the more I was like, oh, my goodness, I'm like overwhelmed with God. And what I'm trying to tell you this morning is our race with God, you have to know your lap and you have to embrace your race. But if you knew everything that was going to happen to you in your life, you would probably bail out. Natalie and I, she's serving today at White Oak. She sends her love. And 36 plus years being married. And if I knew everything that was going to happen in those 36 years ago, I wouldn't have done it. I'm just being honest with you. It's another interesting thing. It's 34 years this week was my first week on staff at the church. And I started thinking about this, 34 years, and I started thinking, like, man, if I knew everything that was going to happen to me over the years, I wouldn't have done it. I'll be honest. Let me just tell you about the last 3 years. The last 3 years of my life have been filled with betrayal, unmet expectations, hurt, emotional pain, transitions and changes that I did not ask for in my life. They have been filled with every challenge I can imagine and you can imagine in life. And I'm like, hey, God, I don't know if you know this or not, but like, I'm doing a really good work for you here. Have you ever tried to have that conversation with God? I mean, you know, the one who created the universe, you're trying to impress. How many of y'all, that doesn't really work? But I tried and because sometimes I feel like giving up, I feel like it's not worth it. But I'm reaching forward with all I got to a heavenly prize. I wish I could tell you, it's so easy. Do these three easy steps. Then we'll give you a t-shirt. And your life will be perfect. If you're going to run a race, it's going to take everything you got. But you got to know the direction you're going. You got to make good decisions, and you got to have disciplines, or you're never going to get there. So I'm here today to challenge your direction. Are you running after God? Because remember, meaning in life is not a destination, it's a direction. And many people are not experiencing meaning and purpose in our lives because we're not going in the right direction. 33% of leaders in the Bible that we know their end, only 33% end well. In the Bible. In the Bible. And I was just filled with, God, I want to be one of the 33%. I want to be one of the 33% that don't just end as a leader well. I want to end in my marriage well. I thought you'd get a little more excited. No, I want to end as a father well. I want to, I want to end as a grandfather well. I was at White Oak this morning. I went to the 8:00, and there was a guest speaker there, Pastor John Nuzzo. And you'd like this if he was here. Like he referred to Pastor Nick as the father of the house, and I was like, and then he said, yeah, and there's grandfather over here, and I'm like, what? I'm like, did we write his honorarium check yet? Because I'm just telling you. That's what he did. He referred to me that. And I'll be honest, I was like, I guess you're right. Yeah. My kids sometimes, they'll tell me, Dad, you got gray hair. And I says, yeah, and you gave me every one of them. They say, why don't you dye your hair? I says, because I earned every one of them. And I want to tell everybody what you did to me. But I want to end as a father. I want to end as an employee. I want to end well. So I want to read to you some verses out of Philippians chapter 3. And I'm going to speak to your heart today. Because I want you to run the race. I really do. I want you to run with all you got. I want you to press on for the prize that he has for you. So Paul's writing to this group of Philippians. And I'm here today and talking to the bunch of North Braddockians or Pittsburghians. Which do you want to be? Pittsburghians? And here's Paul. And so he's writing to a church. And I want to let you know in Acts chapter 16, let me tell you about the three people that we know about that started the church. The three people. First of all, there's Lydia. You can read this in Acts 16. There's Lydia, who all we know is she's a businesswoman and she sells purple stuff. That's all we know. And her family meet Jesus. And then the second person in the church plant is this. It's a slave girl that was demon-possessed and gets set free. Oh, it gets better. Then there's a guy who worked at the local lockup known as the jail. And when Paul and Silas were about to get out, he was about to kill himself because he knew if they escaped, his life was going to end. So here we have a lady who sells purple stuff, a demon-possessed girl who gets set free, and a jailer that was just getting ready to kill himself. Now, I'm not making light of that. I'm just telling you, there's people in this room right now, you have written yourself off that you'll do anything for God, and I want to tell you that you are right in the place God wants you to be. You see, God's not a respecter of your past. God is not looking at your past. You look at your past a lot more than God looks at your past. And so immediately when we think about church planting and church growth, we talk about us, remember, our race. We write ourselves out. And I'm so glad that Lydia, that little girl, and that jailer didn't say, you can't use me, God. Don't ever say God can't use you. It doesn't matter what lap you're in. Okay, here we go. Philippians 3, 5, and 6, this is Paul. Now we're going back. Remember the verses before. And he says, I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. I am pure-blooded citizen of Israel and a member of the tribe of Benjamin, a real Hebrew, if there ever was one. I was a member of the Pharisees who demand the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church. And as for righteousness, I obeyed the law without fault. Now this is like something you'd read on LinkedIn. This is his resume. No, this is my resume. I mean, I got the right education. I got the right background. I mean, I'm from the tribe of Benjamin. Come on, somebody. I had to write this. I had to write that. And so Paul's like, look at all this stuff. And what I want to say to you today, are you willing to surrender everything of your past to God? Are you willing to give him your history, your opposition, your successes, your failures, your emotional problems, your betrayals, your unmet expectations? Are you willing to give it all to him right now? Because this is what Paul says. He says, I got all these things, but verse 7, and I once thought that these things were valuable. And there's people in the room today, you think your past is valuable. Oh, well, I didn't have the right education, but you think your wounds and you think your problems and you think your suffering is valuable. God is saying, no, it's not valuable to me. I'm going to take it. I'm going to redeem it. But in and of itself, you can either worship your past or you can move forward. You can worship what you used to be or become what you were meant to be. You got to decide. And so church, are we going to become what we were meant to be or what we used to be? Yeah. No, that's the question. And this is what Paul's saying. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared to the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For this sake, I have discarded everything, counting it as, yeah, I mean, bad garbage. How many of y'all know that when you take out the garbage, there's bad garbage? And then there's like not so bad garbage. Are you with me? I mean, we're talking about everything in our past is garbage, everything. All my credentials, all my successes, everything there, it got to go so I can press on to him because I want to know him. I want to experience him. I want to know him experientially. See, I don't just want to know about God. I don't want information. I want to know him. And this is what I'm hoping is going to happen. If you want to run the race, you got to know who you're running for. Like I was going yesterday. I was in my car and I'm driving and I passed the road yesterday and there was a whole bunch of people with like little yellow vests on, and it was pouring rain, and it must have been community cleanup day, and they're out there in the pouring rain picking up garbage. And immediately I thought, oh man, this isn't a good day for that. I mean, name a good day there is to pick up garbage. But yesterday wasn't it. And I thought to myself, what's making these volunteers who are not getting paid walk up and down the road picking up wet garbage and put it into bags? Because they believed that what they were doing was significant. And I thought to myself, that's what we need in the church. We need more significance. We need more reasons to pick up garbage and throw it out in the past. And not be ruled by being demon-possessed or being ruled by all these other things in our life and my past here. Every challenge, every struggle, is God saying, can I trust you? Now, I want to stop there. Every struggle I go through, every difficulty, God's saying, can I trust you with more? Can I trust you with more? Can I trust you with more? More of me. God's saying, can I trust you? Can I trust you? Can I trust you? And we are taught in our culture, in our society, to forsake suffering at all costs. We are taught all suffering's bad and get rid of it as quick as you can. We are taught this. It's inbred in us. It's there here. So let's keep going. My wife and I'm sorry. Since February 8th, we have not been in our home. And I don't want to glorify the problem. We had an issue at our house. A water line broke. And from February 8th, we spent 5 weeks in a hotel. And then they found us a place to live. And it's a nice place. It's safe. It's clean. But how many of y'all know it ain't your home? You know? And Natalie and I, before they found the home, we were out driving around looking at all these homes they said you could have possibly live in temporarily. And we just purposed early on, we're going to laugh more. We're going to laugh more and cry less over stuff like this. But we were just overwhelmed with God. And like, God, you have such a sense of humor. Because we're talking in the car as we're driving. God must really trust us. And God is preparing us for the next leg of the journey. God's preparing me for my fourth lap. So you got to catch this. And if you see, I'm running the race, and I'm going to not get fatigued. I'm not going to give up, and I'm not going to, like, throw it off. I'm not going to say, forget that, because anybody can do that. But it's not my determination. It's God's grace. And so I'm listening to this song. It was one of the first time I heard it, and there was a line in the song that said, God, if you're not worried, why should I be worried? And I'm here to tell you, there's so many people in the room right now that you're worried and you have anxiety and you have fear. Oh, and you can't run, and it's not the time to run, and you shall never run. And God is saying, like, he's not worried. Why should you be worried? There's people in the room right now that needed that. If that was you, just reach up and grab a hold of it right now. Just reach up right now. Just grab a hold of that. Come on. God's not worried. Why should I? Okay. Philippians 3:9, and become one with him. I no longer count my own righteousness through obeying the law. That means I'm not going to trust in what I can do and my obedience. I'm going to become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on right? And we're not going to fake it till we make it. We're going to faith it till we make it. We'll faith it till we make it. That's what I'm going to do. And yeah, and he says, I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him. Who ever prays that? No, really, have you ever said, Lord, that I may suffer for you? Has anybody here ever really, really prayed that prayer? Okay, there's an honest crew. For those listening at home, they're honest here. But Paul's saying, like, man, I don't care. I don't mind suffering as long as it's for you. But this is the problem. We confuse pain and suffering. Pain, our natural being wants to avoid all pain. Am I right? That's healthy. You need a healthy avoidance of pain. But suffering is different. You can have great pain but not have suffering, if you know the significance of why you're running your race. Now, let me try to use this illustration. I got it approved by Natalie before I said this. And she said, yes, you can say I said that. Childbirth. I hear a lot of ladies talk about childbirth, and they talk about pain. All the ladies would say. But you know what I never hear? I'm serious. I never hear ladies talking about all the suffering. I don't. Why? Because the pain leads somewhere, and you have the child at the end, and it's like, oh, the suffering goes away. You remember the pain, but it doesn't affect you because you didn't embrace the suffering. And there's people in the room, you're getting pain and suffering, and suffering is healthy. Suffering is what we need. I need to suffer with him. Hebrews 5:8, even though Jesus was God's son, he learned obedience from the things he suffered. Suffering teaches us to trust God. Suffering teaches us to trust God. Let me give you another verse, Acts chapter 20. Just listen to me, Acts 20:22. And Paul says, I am bound by the Spirit to go to Jerusalem. This is the Apostle Paul. I'm bound by the Spirit to go to Jerusalem. I don't know what awaits me, except the Holy Spirit tells me in city after city that jail and suffering lie ahead. Put that on Facebook. But my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. And afflictions are suffering. Afflictions and suffering, they put us in a narrow place. And God is putting us in a narrow race, in a narrow place, making decisions, and I'm going in the direction of my Heavenly Father that I may bring to conclusion who he really is in my life. I want to know him. I want to know him. See, if we're going to have meaning, we have to have reconciliation and a resolve about our past and everything that we've gone through, that God has set me up for now. Then I need to have significance. My life matters. Your life matters. When you're a part of the church, our lives matter. See, this is the enemy has convinced so many people in here that your life really doesn't matter compared to everybody else. And in my life and your life, they matter. No, they really, really do. This isn't about legalism and holiness. This is about our lives matter together. Are you with me? So where are you going to go on a mission trip? Did you see, I'm 95% of the people in this room said, I could never go on a trip. 95% of the people in here is because I could never do that. I don't have enough money. I don't have enough time. I don't have enough gifting. I don't have enough of this and have enough of this. Who said that? Who told you you can't do that? Yes, the reason you need to go on a mission trip is because suffering awaits you. And some of you need to suffer. Because then you'll cry out to God. Are you with me? No, I'm serious. I'm being really, really honest with you. Mission field is where you get to the end of yourself. And we're trying to get in a race, but we're trying to run it on our terms. God, I will do this if you do that. And God, I don't like what happened to me, so I can't run. No, I have a purpose on my life. I have a call of God on my life. And yes, running will require suffering, but it doesn't matter. So I'm inviting you to throw out all of your excuses as garbage and say, no, God, where are you going to send me? No, how many of you are going to get up from here now and go to the back and say, how do I get signed up? Who do I tell? When do I go? Matter of fact, if you don't tell me how to get on a mission field right now, I'm going to find another church. No, don't say that. But what I'm trying to say is I'm going to find a way. Why? Because, see, we want mission, we want vision, we want purpose, but we won't answer the question. What has God called me to? See, we're so busy wrapped up in our gifting. Gifting is what you can do for God. Calling is what God will do through you. And we're trying to present God our gifting, and we're wondering why we're still empty. No, I want to answer the call. God, what have you asked me to do? What is a calling, a vision for your life? What? Just ask yourself this question. A vision is this. It's you see what could be, but you have a conviction that it should be. I have a conviction this should be. That's the call of God. I have a conviction that I'm going to pass my life on to other people, that I want to see other people experience God. And if you don't get where God wants you to get, and you spend time where God wants you to go in a direction and develop the decisions and develop the direction he wants you to have, you're going to fall short. See, we make it way more complicated. We have it right here in front of us here. God is saying money, power, pleasure, popularity do not work. My calling dictates my decisions here. What has God asked me to do? This is your question. What has God asked me to do? Who has he asked me to do it with? Where has he asked me to do it? These three questions are so important here. What has God asked me to do? Write that down. What has God asked me to do? Not what Pastor John asked me to do. Not what your small group leader asked you to do. Not what the video said you should do. What has God asked you to do? I know what God asked me to do. He asked me to be the best husband. Men out there, this is the problem in marriage. We're trying to find fulfillment in our marriage, but we're not willing to give our lives away. When we give our lives away, we were created for purpose. We were created to provide. We were created to protect. And I am at my best when I'm doing those things. I'm at my worst when I'm looking at Natalie saying, what have you done for me lately? See, what I'm trying to say is when we're giving of ourselves, when I'm dying to myself, when I'm willing to go through suffering, any pain, and I'm saying, God, use my past, bring me to my present, but help me get my direction for my future here. Get around people who are running, and you're going to start running. You didn't even know it. Is this helping you here? But it's that I may know Christ, that I may know him. And there it is. Who has he asked me to do it with? I know who he's asked me to do it with. I know who I'm going to help. I know the people in my group. I know that. And then God's asked me to do it here. Not being a part of this church has never been an option because God called me here. So I said, this is it. Stuck with me. No, I'm serious. It's like marriage. It's like, no. This is it. This is good, bad, and ugly. Let's go. We got each other. How does marriage work over long term? The call of God. You have to be lovingly incompatible. I'm trying to help you today. And what I'm trying to say is, you're looking for your calling and all the spiritual stuff. Be the best spouse. Be the best man or woman of God. Be the best father. Be the best grandfather. Be the best employee. That's the call of God on your life. That's my purpose, because I'm going to stand before God and I'm going to answer to him in my heavenly calling. How many of you are excited about being at church today? Come on. Oh, my goodness. I'm just going to read one more. Worship team, come on up. Let's see where we go. Running your race. I gave you some practical things. Because if I didn't give you practical things already, if you can't put in practice the Word of God, what are we doing? It's just a bunch of head knowledge. I don't need more intellectual knowledge in my head. I honest to God don't. I need to know what I'm going to do. So you're going to have to answer those questions. What has God called you to do? What has God called you to do? What's the problem he wants me to solve? The call of God, your call from God, is always going to be an answer to somebody else's prayer. You got to catch this. The call of God is an answer to somebody else's prayer. That means if you look in the Bible, actually from early on, from Abraham, all through the Judges, all through Elijah and David and Moses, Isaiah. It's always a call to somebody else's. You're answering somebody else's prayer. See, we got to stop telling God what we're willing to do and say, God, I want to be an answer to somebody else's prayer. So those of you with some kids in this church, you need to go and just say, you know what? We're going to go to Buffalo this year. Why don't we give a vacation time and go to Buffalo? Why don't we go to Buffalo and be inconvenienced as a family? No, I'm serious. You got to get rid of all the past garbage in your head. I can't, I won't, I'll never. No, man, I got a conviction it should be. Okay, one more verse. I did tell you that. Verse 20. 3:20. But we are citizens of heaven. We sang about this morning. Citizens of heaven. We're the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. This is it. I'm a citizen of heaven. You got to catch this. I'm a citizen of heaven. Just one of the many things that Natalie and I have learned over the last months, and it's probably going to be another 3-4 months before we're back in our house, and we're just going to laugh and have fun. I'm literally in my house the other day, and there's 4 guys working there. They took things of ours, put it in the refrigerator, and then they offered it back to me. I says, wow, you guys are great. One of the things we're learning, we're in a temporary house right now because our real house is getting redone. Jesus went to prepare a place for you and me in heaven, an eternal place. And we're learning that in this temporary place, how very little we really need to get along with. We don't need a lot. We really don't. This isn't suffering. This is a joy. It's a joy. We have food. We have clothing. We have love. We have a church family. We have everything we could want and need. Come on. I'm not suffering. But I'm learning that as a citizen of heaven, this is a temporary place that we're in. And we're clinging so much to the fame, the money, the achievement, the glory of now, my position at work, my agitation with my job, my not enough money, my not enough of this. And I'm telling you, it's hindering us from running the race. Are you with me? Are you with me? I just want to know him. Would you stand to your feet with me here? I just want to know him. And there's people in here, you're not knowing him. Because we got our mind, we got our direction confused, we got our disciplines off, we got the decisions we're making off. So first of all, I want to offer you this right now, right in this moment. If you're here today and you do not have a day, a moment, or time where you surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, that means completely surrendered who you are to Jesus and said, Jesus, I want you to be the forgiver of my past. I don't just want to move past my past. I want Jesus to forgive me of my sin. I've missed a mark, but now, Jesus, I want to live for you. And you don't have a time or moment where you ask Jesus Christ into your life. You've never confessed him or believed him. Today is your day. This is why this church exists. And so first of all, before I even go on here, if you would like Jesus Christ to come into your life, be your forgiver of your past, get rid of the garbage, and then give you a citizenship of heaven, I want you to boldly, joyfully, gracefully, with every bit of like passion in your life. If you've never done that before, I'm going to count to three. And then when I count to three, I'm going to have you raise your hand. Okay, I'm going to count to three and you're going to raise your hand. If that's you today, one, two, three. Anybody here today? Anybody here today? Come on. Anybody that just says, man, I want Jesus Christ. I want Jesus. Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else here today? Yeah, come on. Yeah, raise it up there. Yeah. Okay, now I want you to do something really joyful. I want you to do something really, really super joyful right now. If you raised your hand, what you're going to do, if you could just make your way to the back, somebody's going to meet you in the back and they're going to pray for you. Why? Because you're not a number, you're a name. You're not a statistic, you're a story. We value people. So if you raised your hand, just go to the back. Just go to the back. Somebody's going to meet you right there and they're going to pray for you because we want to value you. Okay, we have prayer teams. Prayer teams, run down front. If you're part of the prayer team, we're going to pray for you today. If you're here today and you're saying, man, I want to, I just want to know Jesus. I want the direction of my life. I want the decisions of my life. Man, I want the disciplines of my life to equal the call of God. I want to know the call of God. I want you to get out of your seats right now. Please don't make me beg. I really don't want to beg today. Just get out of your seats and start making your way down here. These people are going to pray for you. Now, some of you have kids back in kids ministry. And I'm really sensing this. Pastor John said it. If you have kids, we're going to have order in this house right now. We're not done with church. If you want to go get your kids and bring them in so they can get prayer with you, I want you to do that today. Oh, please don't make me beg. Get out of your seats. Come on. There's no everybody here. Nobody wants the call of God. Come on. No. Move out of your seat. Come on. Come on down. Come on down. Do you want prayer for that today? I want to run the race. No, like, let's move. Come on. Now, if nobody comes, that's cool. I'll pray a blessing on you all and send you all home. I'm good. But I believe there's a lot of us here today that need to know the race we're running, the direction, the decisions and disciplines. That's it. Come on down. Come on down. Don't wait. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Come on down. If you think there's more of God for your life, and I just want to know him, and I want to know this is for you. If you say, man, I just want you, Lord. I need you, God. I need these three things to line up with you. Just get out of your seats right now. The worship team's going to lead us. We're going to have order here. So again, if you want to go get your kids, bring them back in to get prayer. Get prayer. Let's get prayer right now. Let's let this be a house of prayer. Let this be a divine calling because I'm going to run my race with God. Let's worship him. Let's stay in this attitude right now in Jesus' name, Father.